Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
205 DGS, happy gloomy Wednesday. So we're going to be making a few changes to the show. People upstairs called, they're like, look, Glover, this is KMOX. We need more bathroom humor. Like, okay. I'll see what I can do. KMOX, sports, Cardinals, and we don't do a consistent sports hit every day, which is dumb, since we have Kevin Wheeler on the show. So every day at 2 p.m., unless there's some pressing thing going on, we're going to talk some sports. Always feel free to call in. Always feel free to call in, like, the whole 4 hours, but especially during this. And, it'll go. You know, a lot going on. Not much going on. What's going on now?
So, I mean, we're still about a month out from spring training, so we don't have a whole lot going there as far as like day-to-day activity. But this,
I already have a question.
Yep, let's go.
I'm fascinated by behind-the-scenes stuff. I love when people talk about, like, there's a noon game. Like, what time do the players get there? Mm-hmm. What time do they leave? For spring training, I heard Claves talking about this.
Yep.
And he was saying, like, you know, some of the guys, they may be there real early, like, how early can you go? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Contreras said, I want to go down there now, would they be like, we'll set you up, we'll have someone to pitch to you?
He's going
to
be there Monday.
There you go.
Yeah, he said that.
Official pitcher catcher? Or just...
No, this will be just like, so there are a bunch of people that are, like, after the winter warm-up especially, but some of the guys live down there. They have, like, off-season homes down that area. The guys that don't, a lot of times, they'll wait till after the holidays, and usually, again, after the winter warm-up. And they'll just, some of them just gradually go down there and they hang out on their own. So they'll be out there hitting, throwing, doing just informal stuff with each other. No coaches, nobody like that. Just being at the facility and getting some work in.
And I know that these are professionals, grown ass men making millions of dollars a year. But you're an athlete. You've been around them. Do they still love to just play baseball?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there probably is a percentage. There's a percentage in all sports that don't do it because they love it. They do it because they're good at it. And then by being good at it, it pays a lot of money. But that's a really small percentage. The guy, they love the day-to-day. And you can see it when you watch in spring training in particular, the interactions that they have with their teammates, just the way that they are when there is no pressure, right? So you use Tony La Russa as an example. Tony was two different, in my experience, two different guys in terms of personality when it came to dealing with the day-to-day requirements. Spring training, Tony was funny. He was, you know, always kind of picking a fun fight with Joe Strauss or Derek Gould or whoever and, like, goofing off and being all that. In season, he became super serious. And, like, it's time to compete. It's time to win games. And some guys are like that. But when you watch them work, like, my favorite thing to do, being the nerd that I am, when I was down in spring training, was to go early and I didn't follow him around because that'd be weird, but just from a distance, pay attention to what Yadier Molina was doing with all of the catchers because they were typically the earliest out. Like, they would get there super early in the morning, go through some catching stuff, get some extra swings because catchers always lose out on hitting time when they're catching bullpens and doing other catcher things. So that's always one of the cool things to me. And then you watch, you know, guys, they kind of drift in at different times. There'll be a mandatory report time. Let's just say 9 o'clock. I'm just throwing a number out there. Most of them are there by 7:30.
Does anyone show? I know that in the old days, guys would gain 20, 30 pounds in the off season because they were working laying tile because they weren't making a bunch of money. My buddy Keith Kachuk was famous for showing up a little pudgy. Does that happen anymore?
Yeah, but it's not common. Like, it's usually the opposite. Usually the most in shape you'll see anybody is right there on the first couple of days of spring training because their job during the off season is to be ready for this. But I'm sure it's happened normally in my memory when it's been even noticeable, which is barely. A lot of times it's somebody recovering from an injury and they didn't have a normal off season. So they didn't have a chance to do the work that they would normally do.
Here's another thing I'm fascinated by. I know every player is different and every member of the media is different. But overall, do you think that professional baseball players see you guys coming in general, and think of you as partners, think of you as necessary evils or pains in the ass?
All three. And depending on the day. Yeah, I mean, they're all over the place. I would say in general, it's just one of those things you got to do. That would be kind of the bigger approach. Because, you know,
they would be happier in life if they didn't have reporters covering the game, maybe?
I would think, right? If you told, I think any of us would be this way, but I think if you told professional athletes, you'll make the same amount of money, you can have the same job, the same life, and you never have to talk to anyone, I think a lot of them would choose that. I don't know what the percentage is, but it would be more, it'd probably be at least three quarters. Because then you don't have to worry about an extra thing. Because it's not always that you're being grilled. It's not always that you don't like the person that you're. It's just more time. And everything pulls away from your time when you're a professional athlete. So think about all of us. You know, how much would you like to be just asked random questions about things on a day-to-day basis by someone that you don't work with or someone that is somewhat on the outside? I mean, I can see where some of it would get annoying. It's not as bad as some of the guys make it out to be. Some of those guys are pretty soft when it comes to that. But the majority do it well. They do it with purpose and with intent. And what the good ones get is that you can actually really work it to your advantage by embracing it.
Another Dave question. So, analogy. My drummer for most of the Dave Glover Band has been Daryl Whited. Daryl teaches drums. He's all he's ever done. And he's as solid as can be, but he's never tricky. He never does anything during a gig where you go, holy crap, he plays the songs. But when he's screwing around, you're like, oh my God, I've never seen anyone do that. That's crazy. Is it similar in sports and specifically with baseball that when they're just screwing around on the side or they're just playing like they're playing in a sandlot, do you see them do physical things that they may not do during a game where you're like, oh, this is why you make $20 million a year?
Not really. I mean, you'll see some things like, for example, just watching batting practice. They can do things in batting practice that are just much harder to do in a game setting because you don't have somebody throwing the ball down the middle 65 miles an hour where you've got all the time to hit it perfectly and do those kind of things. So you may get some of that in batting practice.
Where you go, whoa.
Where you're like, holy crap. There's one, I forget what year it was, but it was when Giancarlo Stanton was still known as Mike Stanton, and he was a young dude getting ready to break in with the Marlins, and the Marlins and the Cardinals share Roger Dean Stadium. So I'm walking through. There's this area between two buildings, and it's basically right behind center field. And I'm walking through there to go to the broadcast trailer, the KMOX trailer, and a ball hits like the top of the batter's eye, which is like 30 feet tall, and then comes down and almost lands on my head. And I'm like, God, that is a long shot because the fence is 400. There's like a 20-foot gap between the fence or maybe a 15-foot gap between the fence and the batter's eye and hit it way up top.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I got to see who this is. And I thought it was somebody maybe like hitting with a fungo bat from second base and just got a little too much of it. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, that's Stanton. Oh my God.
So I've always thought this was cute. So Bulger's dad, Bullet, the greatest guy in the world, played for Notre Dame and spent a cup of coffee in the NFL playing for Green Bay. He was a quarterback as well. And he tells the story, and I've heard it from other people, that he could throw the ball 100 yards. And he would tell that story, and I'd look at Mark, and he would go, no way. He's like, no way.
Yeah.
So
was it Uncle Rico?
Most NFL quarterbacks can throw between 65 and 70, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm interested in baseball players.
Uh-huh.
For the most part, how far can they throw? Like outfielders, if they're standing on the track, how many of them can make it to home plate?
Most of them, depending on how much air you're putting under it. So if you think about, for example, like a launch angle on a home run, if you hit a ball 95 miles an hour at the right angle, it'll go 370 feet, you know, whatever. So a guy that can throw 95 miles an hour, if he puts it at the right angle, can easily throw a ball well into the stands from home plate, for an example.
Wow.
I mean, I had a teammate in college who played in the big leagues, won four or five gold gloves as a catcher named Charles Johnson. He could throw long toss from home plate and throw it over the scoreboard in left center field.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything
like
that.
I mean, like, it wasn't, you know, he couldn't do it every time, but I watched him do it. You know, I mean, like, there are definitely easily, I mean, they can all do it. So the pitchers, when they play long toss, they go diagonal across the outfield. They'll go foul pole to foul pole because that's how much distance they need.
That's probably the most impressive thing to me. I didn't play baseball at your level, but I played a lot of baseball, and I had a pretty good arm. And when I watched them warming up, the distance they throw, throwing as if you and I were 30 feet away.
Yeah.
That's always just... It's like seeing a Bigfoot.
On the line, you mean on a line like
that?
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense in your brain.
Yeah, I mean, that was like Rick Ankiel. Remember the throw he made from the right field wall to third base in a game? And everybody's like, oh, my God, what happened? Like, it was like literally shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
That's impressive. But again, there are guys in the outfield, like Ankiel, he could probably get well over 100 miles an hour with a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a running start, but with a crow hop, with a little bit of a rolling start. We call it a run and gun, where you run quick crow hop and make the throw. Those guys can throw the ball over 100 miles an hour. Well, if you hit a ball 100 miles an hour, again, at the right angle, it's going to go 400 plus feet. I mean, so these guys can probably, I'd have to think about the math. I don't know exactly how far it is to like Big Mac land, but I bet there are guys on the team that could come close to throwing one up there from home plate.
That's the most
with a little bit of a running
thing
start.
You've said since you've been on the show.
I'd have to do the math on the distance.
I'm just saying, like, I had no idea that a human could throw the ball that far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these guys on the run can throw well over 100 miles an hour. Some of them on the mound throw over 100 miles an hour. And again, it's just about launch angle and, you know, where the wind's blowing on a given day. But you can definitely go that far.
And let me just be big enough idiot to analogize this to me, but. Like, not so much anymore, but when I started my career, people would say, oh, my brother-in-law's funnier than you. And I'd be like, yeah, he probably is, but can you do it every day?
Yeah.
Can you do it for 4 hours?
Yeah.
Can you do it when you're fighting with your spouse? Can you do it when you have the flu? And that's what's amazing to me. Like, everyone's got a buddy who almost went pro, right?
Yep.
But to do it every day under the lights with 40,000 people watching you and another million on television when you're fighting with your wife or your kid has the flu, like that's why they're pros.
There are hundreds, probably. I mean, there are thousands of minor league players, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that can do all of the same things that the major leaguers can do, but they can't do it every day. They can't do it every single time that they go out there. And that's the most stunning thing when you watch this game day to day, like I have for all my life covering games, being at Busch Stadium, is that it's the same. So take a random shortstop as an example, just an average guy. The ground ball hit to him is going to be an out 98, 99% of the time. You hit him 100 balls, he might make two mistakes on those plays that are somewhat. That's what we're talking about. Like, you just don't make mistakes. And people think of it like you remember the mistake, you see the error, and you're like, yeah, and he just made 80 plays before that where he didn't make one. You know, it's that consistency that is probably the biggest difference.
Good stuff. You can stay another day.
All right.
225 DGS. We just did sports with Wheeler, and every day at this time, we're going to check in with the newsroom and see what they're working on. Michael Calhoun joins us live in studio. So what are you working on today, Michael?
Well, we actually just had some news come in, Dave. There's been a burglary at the new Stray Rescue campus, unfortunately. They haven't even moved in yet, and thieves... this was not like, by the way, we just had some veterinary offices that were burglarized, and the thieves were looking for drugs, basically. Mm. This was copper, communication line, conduit, that sort of thing, valued at $50,000.
Wow.
And, you know, Stray Rescue, the margins are tight. They're trying to do everything they can for the community and for the dogs and cats, so...
Jeez.
Yeah. So we're working to get more from Stray Rescue. They've put that out there, and we're getting in touch with them. There was some news that was made on KMOX just a little bit ago.
Get out.
Yeah.
Who did that?
You.
No way. What?
Mayor Jones joining KMOX and the DGS from the U.S. Conference of Mayors in D.C., talking about how all these 300 cities that are there, they've got similar challenges. Everybody's got potholes. Everybody's like, how do we deal with public safety and the intersection of mental health and the homeless and, you know, threats that are out there and violence? Also, the ARPA funds. How do we spend the $500 million that we've gotten from the federal government? And her concern that... the new Congress may decide to pull back some of those funds.
Yeah.
And so the city better get on allocating some of those.
These guys will tell you. Like, you know, 23 years, I'm a veteran at this. I don't feel like a veteran at this. I truly don't. But I guess I am. I've been doing it a long time. But when we were on break and you're doing the news and you started playing Mayor Jones and you're like, just on the DGS, I'm like, wasn't I?
You literally are like, we're on KMOX.
I'm all giggly, like, I said those things.
Well, you know, Andrew texts us and says, here's what's coming up on the show. We're just out in the newsroom.
That's cool.
We've got the radio turned up,
Any update on the lady shooting the gun? Did they arrest her yesterday? Is she still out on the streets? Anyone, do you know?
Has been arrested. Don't have an update on that quite yet today. But
taken into custody, though.
Quite the interview from Kevin Colleen yesterday. The exclusive with her.
Wasn't it? Only Colleen, right?
I know.
If you're wondering what Kevin's working on today, it's raining, and they're worried about flooding in Cahokia Heights. That's a city that came together because of a merger, infrastructure problems, very expensive. Several cities came together. People have sewage that comes up into their homes, their basements, their bathrooms. Many of these are older, fixed-income folks, and so they're kind of upset because there were some grants that were promised from the state to fix this. Mm. Sewer problems are expensive to fix, by the way, and local lawmakers have sent a letter to Governor Pritzker saying, where's the money? We've got these problems, you know. You can't have people with sewage coming up into their bathrooms on a regular basis.
Right. Mm.
And, you know, what's the end game with that? And then some national stories that we're following. Of course, there's the downturn with the tech industry. 10,000 employees that Microsoft is laying off. Microsoft has an office here in St. Louis at Cortex, so we're checking on that. But this is just part of more than 100,000 tech workers have been laid off in the last several weeks, according to estimates that are out there. Elon Musk is in court. Another piece of tech news. You might recall a couple of years ago, he tweeted about Tesla. He may take it private. He didn't. Shareholders sued because the stock took a dive after that.
He's good at that.
And so basically it's... Can he just say things? Does he have to have any intent behind them when he says, I intend to do this? You know, what's the follow-up with that? And the tragedy out of Ukraine with the helicopter that crashed, carrying the interior minister or several government officials, but it crashed into a kindergarten in the suburbs of Kyiv, killed about a dozen people, including a child that was on the ground.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
235 DGS and KMOX. Hope you're all cocooned in and enjoying yourself in this gloomy day. So each day, since social media is obviously a big part of our world, whether you like it or not, we're going to go through for you, find the interesting, funny, goofy, stupid, asinine parts of it and present them to you. So who wants to go first?
I can go first if you guys want. So this is from TikTok, obviously, and this is a woman who is upset because they weren't taking her order at Panera.
I heard about
Did you hear about this?
So you are going to refuse to take my order because my child was screaming?
Yes, I have the right to do that. If you're more than welcome to come inside, or you can place an order online and we'll make it for you.
And what is really, like, you're going to not take my order?
Yes, ma'am, that is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right, well, I do have this on video, and I will be emailing corporate because that's just, like, completely rude. I cannot come inside because my daughter does not have shoes on. Do you understand that?
No, I understand, but you're also more than welcome to order through online as well.
So you want me to take an extra 20 minutes and order online? That's not convenient to me.
And it goes on.
Oh, it's
on
so awkward.
On.
20 minutes?
It's so awkward.
It takes you 20 minutes to order something online.
I mean, it might take you an extra 2 minutes compared to just saying anything.
Okay, so her toddler, it sounds like, was
screaming.
Fussy,
yeah.
And the guy didn't like it?
I guess he couldn't hear her when she was initially trying to place the order, and he was like, you're going to have to just pull around and come inside because we can't hear you through the intercom.
Okay, I'll go first. I thought the guy was very polite. I didn't think this lady came across like the typical Karen.
Right.
And having had toddlers that scream, I think Panera Bread should be a little more patient with their people, with their customers. That's the way I took it. What did you guys think?
I thought that she was being a little Karen-ish by being like, I'm getting this on video and I'm sending it to corporate. Look, if he can't hear you because your kid is screaming too loud, like, that is a you issue. That is not a Panera Bread issue to work around your screaming child. And then to say, like, that's not convenient for me. She goes on to say, like, this is your job, is to serve me. Like, and yeah, I guess it technically is, but you don't have to say it so blatantly and so condescendingly. A lot of people on social media are saying things like, I'm with the Panera guy on this one. Like, you can't be expected to work whenever you can't hear the order that's being given because there's a kid screaming. Now, did they devolve into this argument where the kid's no longer screaming?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, he could hear her just fine to argue with her.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
He could have just taken the damn order. Like, I didn't like anybody in this movie. I don't like either one of these characters. But he was being a bit snotty, like, you're sitting there arguing with her that whole time. She could literally have said what she wanted and been done with it. And also, not everything's a congressional case. If somebody's not giving you the customer service that you want, drive away. Go somewhere else. Like, I mean, I'm not going to continue to go to a place where I think they're treating me like crap. I'm just like, fine, you lost a customer today, I'm leaving. And then maybe I'll go online later and complain to the manager and be like, this is what happened.
We'll say
you
this.
Should know.
When she said, well, I've got it on tape and I'm going to go to corporate, I've never said something quite that snotty.
Yeah.
But I've said adjacent things when I'm on the phone with the customer service person. I've had terrible.
Sure.
I'll say, like, look, I know it's not you, but you just need to know that XYZ. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that with DoorDash the other day. Because I'm their number one customer.
Yeah.
And I ordered something, and then I wanted to add something to it. And and I just placed it, and I tried to do that, and I couldn't. And they said, what's your complaint? And I said, well, it's 2023, and if I want to add another Whopper before the guy even leaves, that you should have a way to do that, because I'm missing out and you're missing out. Which I felt was like a really, like, it's kind of thing I'd say to the CEO, like, dude, you're leaving money on the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, there are a bunch of people in the comments saying that they had worked in drive-thrus before and basically, like, we can't hear you if someone is screaming. So, yeah, I totally get what Kevin was saying about, like, you now have all this silent time where you could have gotten it done. So it does seem like he was being a bit obstinate, too.
Where's my recourse when I can't hear them? When they're like, I can't hear. And I'm like, what?
To corporate.
Yeah, I'm going to send that to corporate.
What else we got?
I appreciated the unraveling of the lore in that, by the way. She was like, are you saying I have a screaming child? And then the kid's like,
I know, that was great.
She's like,
actually, that's my favorite character, like, the toddler.
She's like, and my child has no shoes on, so I can't go in. And I can't order online because my phone's on fire. Like, it just kept
She had an excuse for
that's
everything.
That's great, 20 minutes.
Anybody else have a social media update?
Yeah, I got one. You guys know I love the Pessimist Archive account. I love another one very similarly. It's called Technophobia. So it's technophobia.org is on Twitter. So at technophobia.org. And they do this thing where all this tech stuff, where the storylines, like the reporting always ends up being kind of on, ooh, this looks scary. Like, this, look at this robot. It can jump and turn. Well, we're doing all that with AI, right? Like, most of what we talk about with AI is what we're afraid of. And yesterday, that Twitter account made a point, said all the technophobes are fretting about the dangers of AI. Well, all the AI people are fretting about the dangers of AI, too. But we need more people and organizations highlighting the miracle that AI has and will continue to bring. We need people fretting about the dangers of too little AI and the risks of stagnation.
Interesting.
And then the person that commented right after that on the thread made the point that it reminded them of post-World War II nuclear scare. Everybody's afraid of nuclear energy. Everybody's afraid of a meltdown. And obviously, most of that was totally unjustified, right? I mean, have we had nuclear accidents left and right? Have we had meltdowns? I mean, yeah, you have them, but they're super rare.
I just, as like a normal average guy who is very not techie, I don't really spend much time worrying about my AI overlords, like turning me into a giant ant slave or something. Like, sounds okay to me. What I worry about...
Hell, I'll try it.
He's like, anything's better than this.
I mean, really, if AI's like, look, you dig the ditch. I'm like, really? That's all I got to do? Like, okay. What I worry about is people losing their jobs.
Yeah.
That's my biggest concern. Because, look, if you're going to replace, it's always been like, oh, no, we're going to replace the workers with AI. And then we're all going to share in this giant fund. And, you know, it's going to be basic income, whatever it's called. Okay. What I'm worried about is they replace our jobs with AI, but they don't give us any dough.
Yeah, and I think that's a totally – I mean, there are – I'm not saying that there are no valid concerns about AI. That's definitely one of them, probably the more pressing and immediate one, right? as opposed to Skynet taking over and blacking out the sun. But there, what if these new AI advancements can solve problems we haven't been able to solve?
Sure.
Like they can figure out, maybe there's a cure to cancer that the human brain has just not figured out because we can't process all of it, and an AI maybe can. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the point here is, let's be concerned about the scary stuff and the things that could go wrong, but let's not forget, we got other things we got to fix that we haven't been able to fix yet. And if AI is able to do that, even if it's at the cost of whatever jobs in whatever industry, maybe that trade-off ends up being better for us in the end.
Yeah.
Andrew?
Yes. Okay. So on TikTok, has anybody else been assaulted by these these Family Guy clips, or is it just me?
No, I get them. It's
just, do you get them?
The Family Guy clips?
I've never gotten a Family Guy clip.
Not very often, but I get them.
It is 90% of my little for you page on TikTok, which is that famous algorithm that we talk about that, you know, it takes what you like. And it is my fault because I watch all of them a lot of the time.
Well, yeah. Shut up.
But it's the issue here is bigger than that because it's taking over TikTok. It's taking over everything now online. It started as, so what it'll be is it'll be like half the screen is a little clip from Family Guy where Stewie's being Stewie, acting goofy. And then the bottom half will be like a mobile game or just somebody like, you know, squishing dough in their hands or something.
Yes.
And it started as I understand it. Well, so as I understand it, it started as a way to avoid DMCA takedowns so that you could post and get likes and views on your Family Guy clips on your account, but DMCA wouldn't catch it because there's so much other stuff going on the screen. Uh-huh. And what it has turned into now is it's taken over TikTok because now you can't watch anything without having other kinds of stimulation on the screen, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to look at this like guy playing a mobile game or somebody like squishing sand of different colors into different while you watch the Family Guy thing. And they're doing it with ads now too. People are like, I think Rocket Mortgage has an ad on there where the bottom half of the screen is just somebody like playing with Play-Doh or whatever.
I know it's like terrible for your brain because it's making you divide your attention. You know, it's just taking up so much of your attention. But they'll do that with me. A lot of times it's like a reality show clip and then someone playing with the sand. And I'm like, I've already seen the clip, but I'm going to watch it again because for whatever reason, it is pleasing to my brain that the two things are going on at the same time.
I'm being assaulted by a coworker. I keep getting videos of Alex Rich from Y98 playing guitar in the studio. And I'm like, dude, this is my life. Like, this is my escape. I don't need Alex Rich videos. So I'll be like, not interested. And then they're like, here's a guy. I'm like, that's Alex Rich again.
That's the same guy.
Yeah. Did you get the ones on where you get that dual thing going on, where you get the message going on one and the other screen, whether it's the bottom or the side, is where what are those things called that just smash everything?
Oh, yeah.
Those big, like, hydraulic presses. Yeah. That's so fun. I love that.
We're easy monkeys to cater to.
But that's just it. It's like really, apparently they're saying it's like really damaging to our like overall attention span, not just as society, but like individually. It's like actively bad for you to watch a video that has, you know, two or three different things.
I'm over here like, I love it.
In a couple of years, aliens are going to land like on the south lawn of the White House. And after 60 seconds of like, we are Kleebert and Meebert, we'll be like,
cut to the chase.
Can
come
you
on.
Play with some Play-Doh or something?
Come on.
We get it. Pleiades, we get it.
I got to have Family Guy over half this news reporter. I'm not going to be able to pay attention to
Alex Rich is going to walk out of the flying saucer. playing Hootie the Blowfish. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Wish you. Oh, man. I did get another one that was funny on the Pessimist Archive. It was this lady, 1983, complaining about kids hanging around the video game arcades, and we're going to have a generation of people that don't care about anything but games.
And we do.
Well. But those kids, now they're running companies, and they're making video games. Right, but they're making money. They're producing good products, man. I
think I lost my 251 DGS on KMOX. I'm beginning to feel like the George Santos thing, like we're being punked. Like Kevin McCarthy's gonna go like, aha, gotcha. See, we can have fun. Like, now he's being accused of stealing $3,000 from a dying dog owned by a veteran who started a GoFundMe, and somehow George stole it. It's like,
We're going to find out that he's not, he's a sentient pumpkin, you know, like he's not even human. His head's not real. Like, it's just getting so ridiculous.
And he went by allegedly a fake name when he made the GoFundMe that was like a Jewish sounding name because he said Jewish people would give more money to the GoFundMe.
That's what his former roommate said that Santos told him. Well, when I use this name, Jewish people give more money to the cause. That's what he said. Not that there's any truth to the claim, but that's just what he believed, and that's why he used a different name for the GoFundMe than he did in real life.
Mm. I have audio from when the CNN spoke to the
roommate.
The roommate, sure. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to play this here.
So people are going to wonder, and also, you know, he you knew him through another name, right? The last name DeVolder.
Yes, I've always known him as Anthony DeVolder. I've never known him as George Santos. I was actually quite surprised. I guess he, you know, went by his middle name and his mother's name. But yeah, no, I've always known him as Anthony DeVolder.
Mm-hmm. So now we're to the point.
Three different names.
We don't even know what his name is at this point.
It's crazy.
I know. I think I mentioned this to you guys off the air, but I saw it on Twitter. I don't remember who tweeted it, but I thought it was an interesting, like, where are all the birthers with this guy?
Right.
A guy we legitimately have no idea about. He's lied about everything: his heritage, his name, where he got his money, how he got his money, where he went to school, where he worked in the past, and there's nobody that was a birther talking about this guy and going, wow, we really don't know anything about this guy. Get your birth certificate, dude. Like, team sports.
Yeah. Can I talk about one of my weird brain things?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there was a movie probably 20 years ago with Marley Matlin called What the F Do We Know? I don't know if anyone else watched that. It was all about quantum physics and stuff like that. But one of the things that I always remember is this is about brain prediction, and we now know this for sure. That we talked about how your brain is just encased in total darkness and a little wet electric meat inside your bone skull. And it only knows what it brings in through the senses. And it makes predictions. And one way that it's really easy to demonstrate this, I saw the guys do this in the TED Talk, is they play something that, and I have no idea what it says. And then he goes, what I'm saying is, I think Brexit's a bad idea. And then it's like, anything Brexit's a bad idea. So, like, when your brain is expecting something,
oh, okay,
it can, when it can more easily predict, and you're like, oh, now I hear it. Mm-hmm. And you see this in the Bigfoot phenomenon, which, of course, I'm into, is that when people see an 8-foot Sasquatch, their brain just stops because they have no file on this. And they're like, bear, giraffe, my uncle, like, I don't know what I'm seeing. And they can have real PTSD, real trauma from it. Anyway, from this movie with Marley Matlin, one thing I remember thinking, like, that can't be true, is that there's accounts from the islanders who had never seen a white man before. And they pulled up in clipper ships, you know, big, tall pirate ship looking things, and that they couldn't see it. They could see the disturbance in the water. And the chief stared at it for like 2 days, and it took him 2 days to finally his brain to catch up and go, I don't know what it is, but I can now see the outline of this wood and linen. And I always thought that was fascinating. Hard to believe that that's true, but I've heard it enough that that's on the outer extreme of it. But it just goes to show how much your brain depends on what you've learned in the past, what you've seen in the past. Like when people see UFOs. There's a period of time, 1 second, 2 minutes, where it's just your brain just kind of, it's like when you're choking at a table and everyone's like, you okay? And you're just like, yeah, just give me a minute. Like, that's what your brain's doing.
It reminds me of, like, you know, someone will say something to you and you didn't understand it and you'll go, I'm sorry, what? And then before they repeat it again, your brain has filled it in. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, never mind. Yeah. How many times does that happen?
Yeah, it's a good example.
Just big like brain.
It's big in like the cosmic horror stuff, you know, like the H.P. Lovecraft writings and stuff, is that there are truths that you just can't comprehend. Like, your brain cannot fathom them. There's things that you physically cannot see that could be right in front of you because your brain has no way to calculate that that is the thing that's happening.
Is that sounds like what we heard from the one girl in the Idaho thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just, your brain just like, well, can't handle that. Don't get that. Don't
Dude,
know what that
so
is.
It's so weird you bring that up. I didn't sleep last night. And I'm one of those goofballs, agnostic, skeptic, who at 3 in the morning, I'm more afraid of hobgoblins than I am a guy with a knife. Like, I had no experience with the goblins of the hob, but there are guys with knives,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But last night when I couldn't sleep, I was laying there, and I always close my door. I don't lock it, like the bedroom door, but it's closed, and I thought, this happened. This happened to these poor people,
mm-hmm.
that some stranger dressed in black opened their door and stabbed them to death. That happened in the universe. Like, I just, and then I'm looking at my door, and I'm not worried that someone's going to come through, but I'm just like, you're kind of darkly fantasizing, like, how horrible must that have been?
Yeah.
Oh, just those poor parents. I don't know how you breathe all day long.
Mm-mm.
You know, when you know that happened to your child.
You know, the really creepy detail that's just recently come out is that the suspect had been DMing one of these girls over and over again, but she didn't follow him back. So it was going to her like message requests. So she might have never seen them, but he was just all and over again. Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Trying to get her attention.
Oh,
super weird.
Man. Well, that fills in a lot of gaps. I think they're going to be really aggressive with this. The defense, like I've heard smart people say that he left that scabbard behind on purpose.
Mm.
So it's going to be fascinating.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.